Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms one more time, at least as a part of this series. And we're in Psalm 149 through 150 today, as we consider the idea of praise the Lord. It's good to gather together with you today and to worship together. And I do want to encourage you to reflect, take some time to reflect upon this last year. And when you get a moment alone or make some time alone, to sit down and think about what you accomplished this last year and what the Lord maybe has revealed to you, how he has supported you and helped you, and how many times God has been gracious to you. I would encourage you to write those things down and thank the Lord in prayer. Take time to reflect upon that. But also, as you think about this last year, that maybe you would use this last year as a starting point for what you want to do next year. That you would set some goals and objectives, especially spiritual ones, for what you would like to perform and what you would like to accomplish in 2019. I would encourage you to at least have as a goal to have some kind of Bible reading plan. So there are numerous various Bible reading plans out there. If you need any insight into any of those, you can speak to one of the elders or many of the teachers in our church would be able to help you with that. There's one available out there that I put together that goes through the Bible in a canonical order. That is, I believe, the inspired order of the Old Testament and New Testament. And I would encourage you to look at that as well and maybe consider at least reading part of that. But there are a number of things. I would encourage you to set some spiritual goals for 2019, because if you don't set a goal, you're not going to reach it. Okay? Plain and simple. You'll be successful at doing that at least. So if you want to accomplish the most you can in 2019, you need to sit down and have some strategy for that. Any business does that, and we should apply that. If we can do that for business or our life in general, we should do that for our spiritual maturity as well. So let me encourage you with that. Well, it's hard to believe, maybe for me, I don't know about you, but we began this study in the book of Psalms back in July 30th of July, 2017. And no, we have not touched upon every psalm within the Psalter. We have touched upon what I thought were major psalms, considering the idea of the Messiah and a part of the structure of the book of Psalms. But we've been in this for 18 months now. And so if you missed any of those, I would encourage you, as you're looking through, maybe reading through the Bible this year, and you have a question about one of the psalms, you might look online and see if one of the elders has a sermon that's listed there. And encourage you to listen to those. So as we think of the book of Psalms, once again, we think of this book that is the beginning of the last section of the Old Testament. Okay, so you remember that the Hebrew Bible, Scripture, is the Old Testament is structured around three sections. So you have the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. And the book of Psalms is the beginning of the Writings. It's literature. It's wisdom. Okay. And once again, we saw there that if we look at the seams within the Old Testament, at those seams, we see a highlight and emphasis on the idea of the Word of God. Right? So Joshua is told to look to the Word of God. And here, in the beginning of the third book of the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, we see the idea, the one who is blessed is the one who meditates day and night upon the law of the Lord. And so we see an emphasis or a highlighting of the importance of the Word of God to the idea of our blessing and also of knowing God and pleasing Him. And so as we've looked through these five books, there are five books within the book of Psalms. You might think of them as chapters. Remember 1 through 41, 42 through 72, 73 through 89, 90 through 106, and then through 150. And so even the book of Psalms is broken into different sections. And there are seams there too. It's a wonderful structure that God has put together in the book, in His Word, isn't it? And the deeper you look into the Word of God, the more beautiful it becomes to us, the more revealing it is to us, not only of the character of God, but the intent of the writer to reveal God to us. So I would encourage you to read through the Bible as God has given it to us. So as we think of the book of Psalms, we began in the beginning of the book of Psalms with the idea of blessing. The one who meditates on the law of the Lord, the one who is fixed and focused upon God, the one who looks at God's special revelation, which is the Word of God, right? We have general revelation. We can see God in His creation around us. The idea of the moon and the stars and everything that creeps on the ground, all these things reflect some kind of nature or attribute of God. God reveals himself through his creation and his special creation, which is man. But the special revelation of God is the Word of God. If we want to know the things of God by God himself, from God himself, his very word to us, we have to look to the Bible. And that's why the Bible is so important to our daily life. If we want to walk with God, we need to know his word. And so we began in the book of Psalms with this idea of the blessing of God, that he blesses those who seek him, that he blesses those who meditate day and night upon the law of the Lord. And so now we come to the end of the book of Psalms, and we have seen that in the book of Psalms, there is this approaching to this mountain of praise, if you will, at the end of the book. We've looked at this idea of praise being used within the book of Psalms. In fact, 72 times in the book of Psalms, we see at least one particular word that is used for the idea of praising God. But in these last five together, we have 35 times the mention of praising God. 35 times. Half the times that this word is used in the book of Psalms, it is used in these last five Psalms. And we looked at these last five Psalms. Remember, we looked back at these when we were studying through our series here. And we saw that each one of these last five Psalms begins with the idea, praise the Lord. And it ends with the idea, praise the Lord. And we saw in 148, we saw there 12 times that the writer says, praise him, praise the Lord. And we're going to see him continue in Psalm 149 and 150 until the very last Psalm, where he just keeps saying over and over and over again, praise him, praise him, praise him. I think the writer is making a point to us. That we are to, as we think about the book of Psalms once again, we think of the idea of the foretelling that the one who is blessed, the one who is successful in life, is the one who meditates on the law of the Lord. We see throughout the book of Psalms the writer, how he struggles at times. He goes through the valley of the shadow of death, right? All these hardships, the enemy is facing him. He feels like he's alone, but he knows the Lord is with him. We see him walk through that valley, and now we come to this mountaintop. He comes, if you will, he comes out of the forest, and he enters into the idea of walking up this mountain of praise. And it really is to be a reflection of our life as well. If we look back at the blessings of God, what God has done for us, it should encourage us to praise him, to make his name known, to give adoration to him, to proclaim his goodness. Amen? And so these two psalms together draw us into the idea of praising God. I love what Spurgeon said with reference to Psalm 150. I've tied these two psalms together, but with reference to Psalm 150, he says this: we now have reached the last summit of the mountain chain of psalms. The poet-prophet is full of inspiration and enthusiasm. He slays not to argue, not to teach, not to explain, although I would say he does do those things. But he cries with burning words, praise him, praise him, praise ye the Lord. I love. Listen to the psalmist as he writes these words, beginning in Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. Let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is an honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we praise you for your greatness, your amazing greatness in every aspect of the idea and the word. You are great in beauty. There is none like you. You're great in power. Who could simply speak and things come into existence? You are great in love. Whoever could match the love that you have demonstrated in giving your Son, Jesus Christ? God, you are great in mercy toward us, for you've not only saved us and pardoned us, but you have called us children of your own. And you've made us joint heirs with Christ. And you've given us not only blessings in this life for this day and the days to come, but for all of eternity. Your greatness in every capacity will be made known to us. And so we praise you today according to your excellent greatness. I pray, Father, that you would draw us close to you today. Would you clear our minds that we might leave the distractions of this world behind, the cares and concerns that are temporal, not eternal, they're temporal. Would you help us to put those things aside that so easily distract us and weigh us down and hold us back? And would you help us to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ today? Would you help us to look at his beauty, to admire his faithfulness, and to look at him who sacrificed himself for us? Father, we praise you today because you are a good Father. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you a key thought. It was difficult to come up with a key thought. Many of these last psalms, as we've looked at, are very closely associated with one another, the idea of praising the Lord. And so I've been struggling to find different ways to basically say praise the Lord. So it's not the same thing every week. But let me give you this one here. I think it fits well with the passages that we have. The magnitude of our praise is to reflect the magnitude of his greatness. The magnitude of our praise is to reflect the magnitude of his greatness. In other words, the level of our praise, the nature of our praise, should reflect the level of his greatness and the nature of his greatness. Does that make sense? In other words, God is such a great and awesome God, and so he deserves all praise and all glory. And so the magnitude of our praise is to reflect the magnitude of his greatness. I was thinking about that the other day as I was sitting at my desk just searching some things in Scripture and thinking of the Psalms in particular and the psalmist as he writes. And I began to really dwell upon the idea of 2018 going into 2019. And then I began to think about the idea of the commitment of the psalmist, how numerous times he says, I will do this or I will do that. And so I began to do just a little search with the connection with the idea of praising and thanking God from the perspective of the psalmist. And so listen to some of these that the psalmist has told us throughout our study in the book of Psalms. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. I will sing praise to him according to, in relation to, with in mind the idea of the perspective of his greatness and his righteousness. How righteous is he? Completely righteous, amen? In fact, we have no righteousness. He has something that we do not have. If we have any righteousness, it's because it's been imputed to us by his work. Any righteousness that we have comes from him, is not our own. It is given to us. It's a gift of God. And so the psalmist says, I will give thanks to God according to his great and matchless righteousness. Psalm 22, verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Corporate worship. in the midst of those that have been redeemed, in the midst of the people of God, the chosen people of God, I will praise you. When we gather together, why do we gather together? Yes, to support one another, to encourage one another, but to praise God as a people who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Psalm says, when we gather together, when we assemble together, when the called ones, the elect are brought together, we will praise you, O Lord. I want to just say as a side note, there are a lot of churches that don't do that. I've gone to many churches before when I was on vacation, for example. And I thought, you know, it's a Sunday, I should go to church somewhere. And I would go to the church and never hear the word of God spoken, honestly. Never a scripture read the whole service. And it was all about us, 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 and nothing about God, God, God. He says, when we gather together to praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 35, 18. I will give you thanks in the great congregation. The great size of the congregation, but the great nature of the congregation too. We're not just a gathering. It's not a football stadium here where you just buy a ticket and get in. But we have once again been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so we are the great congregation in that we reflect the greatness of God's mercy. We're here only because of Him. He says, I will praise you. I will give thanks to you in the midst of the great congregation. I will praise you among the mighty throng. Love it. Psalm 57, verse 9. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. Listen, I will sing praises to you among the nations. Now we have gone from the congregation, the assembly, the elect, the redeemed ones, to the nations who need to hear the gospel of the great, great, awesome God. And he said, when I go out and about, once again, when we go out from here, what is our purpose? Our purpose is to make him known to the nations, to the peoples that are around us. And you say, does that mean I need to go to all the different countries? You don't need to go to all the different countries to reach the peoples of the world. God's brought them here, hasn't he? Just go into Raleigh, just go into Holly Springs, go into Fuquay. You'll see people from many different nationalities. And what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to make God known to them by praising his great name. I will make you known among the peoples. I will praise you among the nations. Psalm 34, verse 1. Listen now. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's a challenge, isn't it? That's right in line with the Apostle Paul who says, let no unfitting word come out of your mouth. Let no murmuring or complaining be even known amongst you. The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord when? At all times. Into good times? Obviously into good times, though we forget that too, don't we? We get something or we're blessed with something and we forget that every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father above, doesn't it? In the good times, yes. In the boring times, yes, in the boring times too. In the hard times, especially in the hard times. Not because of the difficulty, although God is working all things together for good for those that love him, is he not? So even the difficult things, the hard times are being used by God. Yes, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually on my mouth. That's a goal that I have. I have not reached it, obviously. Anybody that knows me knows that I have not reached it. You probably haven't reached it either. But our striving is for the idea that I want to be a person that when words come out of my mouth, they reflect the goodness and the greatness of God. The idea of faith, that I am trusting in him. I'm believing in him. Which, by the way, that's our theme in 2019. As we enter into the book of John, the idea of believing in Christ. Believing in Christ for salvation. Believing in Christ for everything. That we would grow in our trust of Christ. Listen to Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. All my heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Right? with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your might, with everything. God wants every part of us, not just part of us, not just one day a week, 2 days a week, 3 days a week. That was, I used to be a good Southern Baptist and went 3 days a week, and I was a stellar Christian, right? Because not only did I go to everything on Sunday and everything on Wednesday, but Lord have mercy, I even went to evangelism class and stuff like that. I was a really dedicated Christian. But listen, the Bible says that every day is His. That's why, in many ways, that's why you don't see a lot of little things like that here at Macedonia. Because we don't want you to perform your Christianity at church. In other words, you can't just come here and be a part of three programs and say, I'm a good Christian. God wants your whole life. He wants your whole heart, your whole soul, every fiber of your being. He wants your whole attention all the time. Listen, I will praise the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and in the assembly. When we gather together, of all places, we should be praising the Lord together. I mean, we're the ones that have the most in common, do we not? Not all, only are we children of God, but we are children of God at a local congregation called Macedonia Baptist Church. We are sharing life with one another. We're to be carrying one another's burdens. Yes, I'll meet people out just like you do. I'll meet people outside that are my brothers and sisters in Christ, but I'm not sharing life with them like I'm sharing life with you. And so when we gather together, of all people, we should be praising God together. And we should be saying, I know you've been going through a hard time. How's it going? Well, let me tell you, God's been faithful to me. Or we might just say, I'm really struggling. I'm really struggling. And the other person might have to say, well, let's pray together and let's ask God to help us praise Him in the midst of this difficulty. He said, I will praise you with all my heart. Psalm 71, verse 14. But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. One day we're going to praise Him all the time. God's going to change us in the twinkling of the eye. He's going to make us brand new, just like Christ. And we're going to see Him face to face and we'll be just like Him. And even when we're just like Him, we will praise Him all the time. And the psalmist says, I will commit myself to this. I will praise you yet more and more. Let me encourage you as we think about, once again, this is so fitting for the transition from 2018 to 2019. Let me challenge you for 2019 that you would have as part of your commitment, Lord, I will praise you more in 2019 than I did in 2018. Lord, show me new and great ways that I can bring you praise and I can praise you even more in 2019. Psalm 145, verse 2. Every day I will bless you. Can you see the heart of the psalmist? Can you see his passion and his commitment, the idea of total, total love for God? Obviously, he struggles at times, but he says, every day I will bless you. I will praise your name, how? Forever and forever. 146, verse 2, last one. Listen to this. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Remember, we looked at this in Psalm 146 when we were going through the book of Psalms. As long as I have breath, I will praise the Lord. Whether it be walking the streets or whether it be lying in the bed at the hospital, I will praise the Lord. That's one of my prayers. God, help me praise you no matter what. I don't know what comes ahead. You don't know what comes ahead. But God, would you help me to be faithful to whatever your calling is for me in my life? But I love what the psalmist says. I will praise you not only with my life, this life that we have now, but I will praise you as long as I have my being. As long as I have my right mind, God, I want to praise you. But as long as I exist, God, I want to praise you. And we that are in Christ shall live forever. And so for all of eternity, we will praise him. Praise him. Let me just give you a few. Let me pull out a few things from these two psalms, Psalm 149 and 150. Let me just pull out a few that will help us maybe organize these thoughts a little bit and maybe apply it to our lives a little bit. Let me give you, first of all, the idea that we should direct our praise to the Lord, our God and Maker. Once again, we should direct our praise to the Lord, our Maker. And the psalmist says, even King. Praise the Lord. Sing how? To the Lord. You can underline that word. You can underline every word in the Bible. Amen? I know it's like an editing within an editing sometimes. But you can. That's why we believe in the inspiration of each and every word. Every word is important. You could just sit there and say, sing to who? The Lord. What? A new song. Not just a song, but a new song. And so we are to direct our praise to God. Yes, we have songs that sing about God. But even our songs that we sing about God are still directed to Him because we're thinking about Him. It's about our great God. We want to magnify Him. But we should praise and direct our praise to God. Our heavenly. Here's an amazing thought. The writer of the book of Hebrews reminds us that Christ is our high priest, that he has torn asunder the veil that separated us from God. And he says, now we can boldly come into the presence of the Lord. It's a privilege that we have to direct our praise to God. We don't just write it in a letter and send it to him. We give it to him in person. You can have a daily encounter with God, praising him in person. Praise the Lord. I love that word, the Lord, Yahweh, the personal name of God. It reminded me of Exodus chapter 3, verse 18, when Moses is told to go back and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. God told him, they will pay heed to you, because remember Moses was like, are the people going to listen to me? I can't talk, right? God said, who made man's mouth, right? But God, you know, they know me. He said, they will pay heed to what you say, and you with the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him, the Lord, Yahweh. There it is. That's who I am, he says. I'm Yahweh. The God of the Hebrews has met with us. So now, please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. He's not only God, the one who has created all things, he's our personal friend. He's our Lord. He says, our Maker. Praise our Maker in verse 2. Let Israel be glad in his Maker. Literally, the word there for Maker in Hebrew is simply the word to do. God's the one, I think I said this before when we saw this word earlier in Psalm 139. God's the one who makes it happen. Literally, that we can say, he's the performer. Not a performer as in a concert or something like that, but he's the one that makes, he performs, he executes the will that he has. He is the one that does all these things. Psalm or Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. God's the doer. Where do you think Paul got his theology from? Man, he got it from the scriptures. He knew that God was the one who created all things, and he knew that God was the one that had all righteousness, and he knew that God was the one who does all things according to his purpose and his plan and his will. So we are to praise the one who is our Maker, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalm 139. Are we not? He has made us. We are not our own. We are his sheep. In fact, Psalm 95 says this, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He made us. He not only gave us life, but he's given us eternal life. He's not only brought us into this world, he's brought us into his family. We're children of the King. Praise him. Kneel before him. He is our Maker. He is our God. For we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the wilderness, when they said, can God give us water? Can God give us food? Can God give us meat? Let us go back to Egypt. We had it so good there in slavery. When they were beating us and putting more and more responsibility upon us with less and less responsibilities. Let us go back there. That was better than being in the hands of God. How foolish it is to forget the Lord God, our Maker. Praise our King. He is the King. There are kings that have the little K. It's the same word in Scripture, Melech, king. David was a king. He was a king. We're talking about the king. The King of Kings. And the definite article is so important many times in Scripture because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we saw that. Here we end in the Psalms with this idea of God being our maker, and in verse 2, let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. And we saw that in Psalm 2, did we not? That God is placing his king, who is his son, upon the throne at Mount Zion. So the Psalms begin with this idea of God placing one upon the throne who is king, who is his son. And now we are told to give praise to the one who is the King of Zion. Christ Jesus is his name. Praise the maker. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain, God says in Psalm 2. Praise our God. El points to the idea, many words for God, Elohim, Elohim being the plural in Hebrew. It means the mighty one. We see it in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Now when Abram was 99 years old, Lord have mercy, huh? We just had a funeral at another church a week or so ago for a 95-year-old who was still living at home by himself and still driving himself around, which is a scary thought in many ways. Anyone below the age of 18 is scary to me, and anybody above the age of 90 is a little bit concerning to me as well when they're in the vehicle. But Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord, Yahweh, appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. You remember what he's going to do. He's going to give the one who was dead in his own body, in essence, he's going to give him a child. He says, I am God Almighty. Praise, just praise him. The psalmist says it so many times in Psalm 150. He says it over and over again. Praise him, 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 praise him. Is he at a loss for words? No, he is at a loss for words in some ways because he can't get over how great God is. But he is not at a loss for words that he could pen. He's overcome by the greatness of God and the magnitude of praise that is worthy to his name. Yes, he is overwhelmed with the idea that God is worthy to be praised. And he says to us, praise him. Praise our maker, our Lord, our God, our everything. Secondly, express your praise to the Lord with newness and emotion. Let me say it more this way. Not that we want you to conjure up emotion. We're not saying that when you get here on Sunday, if you're feeling down, you need to say, okay, I need to get excited. I need to get excited. We're not saying that. We're not trying to manufacture. We're not trying to play on emotions here. We've seen it all before at churches, have we not? Play a certain song at the end, get everybody to come forward. What happened? A bunch of people came forward. Maybe somebody got saved. I don't judge their hearts. But many times I see people just responded to what they were asking them to do because of emotions. We're not asking you to conjure up emotions. But we are. I want to say it this way. I want you to be free to express your emotions here. Can we say it that way? It's okay. You don't have to raise your hand here. You don't have to say, you know, what does it require of me to be a member of Macedonia Baptist Church? Well, you've got to raise your hand when we worship. And if you're really committed, you got to raise both hands, right? And keep your eyes open at the same time. Can't close your eyes, okay? Can't do any of that. No, we're not going to put some kind of ridiculous requirement on something like that. But what I want to say to you is this. If you feel like shouting amen, you can shout amen in this place because God is worthy to hear amen. Listen, as long as you're directing it to him, right? As long as you're directing it to him, and you're not trying to draw any attention to yourself. Remember, direct our praise to him. But express it with emotion. There should be some emotion in our lives about the fact that God sent his son to die for us. That Jesus was mocked and ridiculed and suffered for us. There should be some emotion. Jesus had emotions. God has emotions. His heart hurts at times. The Holy Spirit is quenched at times. There is emotion. God is the God of emotion, balanced emotion. He's not an emotional God. Praise the Lord. Right? He's not just an emotional, but he has emotions. And he loves us. That's an emotion, is it not? He becomes sad. He becomes weary of people. Not tired. Not tired in the sense of exhausted. But weary in the sense of, how long do I need to tell you these things? Did not Jesus say that to his disciples? Emotions. Frustration. Yes, frustration. Voice your emotion to God. God, I'm frustrated right now. You might want to do that by yourself. All right? You may not want to do it right here. You may not want to yell, God, I'm frustrated with you. You might not want to do that. You might want to use some discretion. But when you're home alone and you're hurting and no one else understands, you might want to say, God, I'm hurting inside. He knows what it's like to hurt, doesn't he? He does. He knows what it means to sacrifice. Do you think God had no emotions when he gave his son? What kind of God would that be? Who would callously and coldly just give his son to be slaughtered? No. He is worthy. Sing a new song. I was hesitant to say this, but I'm going to say it. I mean this with the most admiration that you can think. I am so excited. I'm so pleased. I'm so encouraged by some of the older folks who embrace new songs. I do. I'm excited about that because I know sometimes that's a struggle. And I'm sure one day when I'm a little bit older and music continues to change, I'm sure there's going to be a bigger gap between my age and where music's at. Right? So I can understand. That was one of the things I was thinking about when I did a recent funeral. There was a man, he was tough now. I mean, he'd tell you what he thought. And sometimes he shouldn't have been thinking what he thought. And he would tell you. And he didn't know he shouldn't be thinking that. It was a problem, you know. Let me tell you something. I shouldn't be telling you. Well, please don't tell me, you know. But I did appreciate one thing about him. He stayed the course. He didn't agree, but he kind of went along, if that makes sense. And I know it had to be hard. He was 95 years old. Times had changed, right? But the psalmist says, I will sing a new song. We have new songs on occasion here at Macedonia because we want to expand our praise. We want to expand our horizons. We want to say there are new things. Nobody has exhausted all the praise of God. Please, please let there never be a time when we stop writing new songs that bring out new attributes or characteristics of how great God is. So the psalmist says, I will sing a different song. A different kind of song? Not the same old thing. We're not going to do the same old thing here all the time. We want to mix it up because we want freshness. Psalm says, I will sing a new song to the Lord. He said, I will be glad when I do this. I love the way the psalmist uses this word. He says there, the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. He says in verse 4, let them take pleasure, right? They take pleasure in the one who takes pleasure of them. Our God is a God who takes pleasure in us. We should surely take pleasure in him, should we not? Verse 5, let the godly ones exult in glory and in the glory of God. Let them sing for joy. Let them sing for joy in their beds. Sometimes, Lord, thank you for this bed. I've been looking forward to this. Right? Oh, this is so good. But let me encourage you to begin your thoughts with God. When you're lying there trying to fall asleep, it doesn't take me long sometimes. My wife can attest to that. Just think about God, what he's done for you that day. And say, God, thank you. And thank you that if my eyes don't open in the morning, they'll open before you. Joy. Joy in our lives. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And the two-edged sword, which we know what the two-edged sword is, don't we? It cuts both ways. I'm afraid many times we're like Jonah, though. Listen to Jonah. It's really one of the only times, and it's mentioned in the book of Jonah, that Jonah was happy. It took four chapters, too. I'm sure he was happy when he got out of the fish, okay? I'm sure he's happy when he got out of the fish, but the writer never tells us that he was happy. He might have been overcome with his foolishness. It says in Jonah chapter 4, verse 6, "So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely gadol." He was a big happy. It's in the book of Jonah. There's a big fish, a big storm, a big ship, a big city, big nobles. And Jonah gets a big angry. And now he gets a big happy. He's real happy. Why? Because something good has happened to him. There were thousands and thousands of people that were going to perish, and God spared them. It didn't make him happy, though. Isn't that sad? But a little plant grows up and gives him a little bit of shade, and Jonah's a big happy now because his discomfort has been taken away. God help us not to be like Jonah, that we're so self-centered and that all of our pleasure comes as a result of things that happen good for us. Be happy for other people, would you? God wants to bless other people too, doesn't he? You're not the only one God wants to bless. So when God blesses other people, be happy for them because God's the one. Just say, "God, thank you for blessing them." They might not be thinking in the right perspective, but "God, thank you. You've been good to them." Rejoice. Be excited. Listen to this, Isaiah chapter 9. "You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness." Remember, this is the great passage on the birth of the Savior, right? A child that's going to be given to us, a son that is given, a child that is born to us. He said, "I'm going to multiply their increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence and with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." Christ should bring gladness to us. Isaiah 61:10. "I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation." Interesting. Look at that passage. It's pointing to Christ, by the way. Isaiah 65:18. "But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness." I believe that we can apply that same thing to the people of God that are brought into the church. God has made you for rejoicing. God knows his plans, that they're for good, right? And he has created you, he has made you, he has put you where you are for rejoicing. Not to make you suffer in life. Not to make you suffer, but to make you rejoice at his goodness. Be jubilant. Same word is used here in these Psalms. Be jubilant. Listen to this. Zephaniah 3:14. "Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." How about Isaiah 49:13? Shouting for joy. "Shout for joy, O heavens, and rejoice, O earth. Break forth into joyful shouting, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted." Amen to that. God has had compassion on us through Christ. And he has been afflicted for the afflicted. He understands he has suffered for us. Finally, broaden your praise to the Lord in every area of life. Not just express it, but broaden it. Once again, that idea of the new song, right? Try something new. Try Christian rap. Man, that stretched me a lot. You know, on occasion I'll listen to it and I'll say, "Good lyrics, I just don't know it's me." It's just not me. My wife, and especially if I start dancing, my wife will say, "Terry, it's not you." You know, especially if I do it in public, and then she'll say, "Terry, it's enough." If you don't believe me, ask her. But try something new. We don't have the market on praising God, do we? No. Go on a mission trip. Listen, go on a mission trip and see how other people authentically and rightly praise God. Not that they have the market on it, but they are praising there's, you go to Nepal, you see people, they're not praising the Lord like us necessarily. It's a little bit different. It's a different culture. Is it wrong? Obviously not. Broaden your horizon, broaden your experience of praising God. Praise his name in dancing. Godly dancing, right? We see that in 2 Samuel. In fact, let me read this passage here to you, and kind of coming toward our closing here. In 2 Samuel chapter 6. You remember when they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city, right? They see the blessings that are coming to the people that have the Ark, and they tell David, they say, hey, God's not cursing them, God is blessing them. And David says, let's bring the Ark over here so we'll experience the presence of God and the blessing of God. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Odom-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the Ark of God. David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Odom-Edom into the city of David with gladness. Emotion. He's happy. He wasn't just like, eh, here comes the Ark of the Covenant. I guess I got to go out there. No. Gladness, right? Joy. The Ark of the Covenant is coming into the place of the city, right? And so it was that when the bearers of the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing, key phrase, before the Lord. David was dancing before the Lord with all of his might. Can you picture that? I'm not going to demonstrate it. My wife would die. Oh, come over to my house tonight and I'll show you what he's talking about. And David was dancing before the Lord with all of his might. All of his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. And so David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Can you imagine this? Dancing all over the place, throwing their arms, I'm sure, all over the place. There's dancing, shouting, trumpets are blaring. The Ark of the Covenant's coming into the city. Let's all rejoice. Then it happened as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, that's a key phrase there, by the way, too, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. She said, what a fool. He's not acting like a king. He should be up here with me. What's all the noise about? Why isn't she down there? Good question, isn't it? It's a tinge of, the writer gives us a tinge of the problem. She's the daughter of Saul. And you remember the tension that happened there. So they brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Further, he distributed to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to men and women, a cake of bread and one of the dates and one of the raisins to each one. Then all the people departed, each to his own house. Then David had to go home. Right? To Michal, Saul's daughter. But when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, honey, it's been so good to see you. Praising the Lord. I've missed you so much today. I didn't know the ark was coming or I would have been down there. Now she said, how the king of Israel distinguished himself today. It doesn't make you sick, really. I mean, it doesn't really make you sick. It doesn't matter if she's a woman. It could be a man or a woman with that attitude. How the king or how the queen of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself. She uses a word that could be translated for nakedness, but it's not. It means that he bared his soul. He showed what was really inside him, that he wasn't some stiff king that just sat on a throne and said, I'm the king of Israel, but he's a guy that loved the Lord. He couldn't control himself. He had to praise God. Yeah, I know I'm a king. Maybe I didn't act like everybody wants a king to act, but I'm a child of the king and I had to act the way I was because I love God. That's what's going on here. How he uncovered him. It's funny how she interpreted what he did as a naked thing, shame like in Genesis, right? And what he did was bare his soul. Have you ever, just as a side note, have you ever shown yourself to somebody and they stomped on it before? You lower yourself and you say, let me just tell you what I'm really thinking inside, how I feel. And they're like, that's what happened to David. He was praising him. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants. Oh, you're the king. You know, you're little puny servants. You're supposed to be way up here, right? And David said, I'm one of the people of God. That's the problem, isn't it? David was out there in the midst of the people as just a child of God. He's the king, yes, but he's a child of God, redeemed the same way the people of God are redeemed. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants, maids, as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord. I don't think there's any guilt that David had at all. It was before the Lord who chose me. How could I not dance before the one who chose me? Who chose me above your father. You remember who you came from, right, Michal? Saul. And above all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord. And I will be more lightly esteemed than this, and will be humble in my own eyes, but with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished. Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. What's the point? The point is, David revealed his love for God. He danced, he showed emotion. He showed excitement. He showed appreciation. He was willing to abase himself, and even to the point that people thought he was foolish because he was caught up in praising God. So the psalmist says, broaden your praise. Listen, once again, in the sanctuary, in the mighty expanse, for all of his mighty deeds, for his excellent greatness, with the trumpet. Maybe we could have a trumpet one day here. With the harp. Cost some money, but maybe we'll have a harp someday. With the lyre, with timbre, with dancing, with stringed instruments, with the pipe, with the cymbals, with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Every living thing. We, God's special creation, he has given us breath. Let us use our breath to praise him. Let us use our mouths to glorify him. Let me encourage you that in 2019, let me just think with you for a moment as we think about 2019. Let me challenge you once again. Maybe you'll go back and look at those, I will. And you could just say, in 2019, I will give you more thanks than I did in 2018. In 2019, I will praise you in the midst of the assembly of God's people. In 2019, I will make you known. I will praise you to the nations. I will. Let me encourage you for 2019 to set some spiritual goals. Spiritual goals. At least plan to read through the Bible. At least do that. At least daily read a portion of Scripture. Something. Just to have yourself in the Word of God, but set some goals so that in 2019 we can say, we have praised the Lord God, our Maker. Father, we thank you. We give you praise for your greatness and your goodness. I pray, Father, you would help us in this next year. Would you help us to serve you? Would you help us to honor you? Would you help us to express our joy and our gladness for the great things that you have done. You are above all gods. You are worthy of all praise. Help us, Lord, help us to praise you in every aspect of our lives, in our marriages. Lord, would you help us in our marriages? Would you help us to praise you? Would you help us not to be self-centered? Would you help us not just to be like Jonah, just happy when things go our way or they benefit us, but would you, Lord, help us to expand our joy to other people as well? Would you help us to be like Christ, Christ came not to be served, but to serve. And Lord, if your Son, your perfect Son, came as a servant, surely he will empower us to do the same thing. God, be praised in all that we do. In Christ's name, amen.